The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, here are our featured NHL games tonight on ESPN+. Stars visit the Devils. That's 7 Eastern. Then the Kraken finish up a 6-game homestand when they host the Predators. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, hey, Jeff, Saturday, you got some splaining to do. Rams center Brian Allen, this was a snap. It did not turn out. Well, Jeff, what was your reaction when that play happened?
You blame the guard or blame Stafford? Because he got the indicator it was a great snap. Either Stafford's got to be looked at or the guard can't give you that.
Time out. It was not a great snap.
It was a great snap.
The definition of a great snap is when the quarterback is holding it when the snap is complete.
Dang near hit Stafford in the face, and he didn't have any. The indicator was the right guard. Look, see the right guard give him the glove? The right guard gave him the indicator. The center's doing his job, which we all do. Stafford obviously is not a three-syllable athlete because he didn't see it. It got past him. Thank God he was an athlete enough to go jump. Oh, no, he did. So it shows you 2 times what that looks like. Do not blame the center. Either the indicator or the
Jeff,
quarterback. That's all I can
Jeff,
tell you.
Jeff, you told us that when you get beat on a rush, you yell, throw it.
Throw it.
When the snap runs past the quarterback, what do you say?
Pray. Somebody get it. Somebody get it. Because you know you ain't getting it. Somebody get it.
You're
the last guy. Yeah. You number 11 of 11 on getting that thing back.
We're having some fun here this morning live, as always, from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase Swag, who is fired up. The crew is here. Let's go, Cindy. Roll it. We got a big hour as we are getting up with you, and we're getting up with Tampa Tom, whose time may have come. We've never heard him say what he did yesterday. We will tell you what it means. Then it's been all about Aaron. But wait until you hear what one member of this crew thinks we should be saying about this all-time great quarterback. And what did this weekend mean to this young man's legacy? Is he now a lock to be super a second time? We're talking about Mr. Mahomes as we get up with you starting right now. And we begin this hour again with Tom Brady and his future. So Sunday, the Bucs are eliminated from the playoffs, and he was non-committal about playing next year. And then yesterday, he took that much farther on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. Listen to this.
The point is, there's no really rush for me to figure out what's next. You know, I'll know when I know. My wife is my biggest supporter. It pains her to see me get hit out there. And, you know, she deserves what she needs from me as a husband. My kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. And, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and, you know, figure out in the future what's next. I would say I'm proud and satisfied of everything we accomplished this year. So I know when I give it my all, that's something to be proud of. And I've literally given everything I had this year, last year, the year before that, the year before that. Like, I don't leave anything half-assed, you know? I think I leave it with everything that I have.
All right, so that reverberated with us in a big way at the beginning of our show, and Dan Graziano confirmed my suspicion that we've never heard him talk that way before. And then, thanks to our buddy Sal Palantonio, who sent me a note and said, Greeny, go back to what Giselle said several years ago about concussions, and here it is. Tom Brady's wife, Giselle Bundchen, this is a story in 2017, said, quote, he had a concussion last year. He has concussions pretty much every, I mean, we don't talk about it, but he does have concussions. I don't think it's a healthy thing for a body to go through that kind of aggression all the time. That could not be healthy for you. And a big deal was made of it because he had never been on the injured list with a concussion. Right. So there were all those questions.
Right.
But now let's put that behind us. Here is a reminder that as he's saying, well, my wife hates to see me get hit. He had one hit this past week where his helmet smashes into the ground. So, Jeff, Saturday, I'll let you repeat what you said earlier about when the family starts having these conversations.
Listen, I had it. I had it with my wife. And so, we're looking at my career. Ted Thompson, general manager for the Packers, is like, hey, do you want to come back? And, you know, we're having these conversations. This is a lifetime conversation. I want you to be the husband. I want you to be the father. I want you to be the grandfather. We want to have a quality of life. life after this game ends. Your career has satisfied every box that can possibly be checked. At some point, it does become about your family. And I was all about him coming back until I heard him talk about that, because those conversations are really the ones that change the direction of your life. When your family looks at you and goes, I am concerned about your long-term health, that will be a conversation that will change your mind.
I believe, Greeny, you said that was 2017?
Yes, and the conversation went on. He said, they were being interviewed together on CBS mm-hmm. this morning, and he said, if it was up to my wife, she would have me retired today.
Right.
And Giselle said, I'm planning on having him be healthy and do a lot of fun things when we're like 100. Yeah. So, yes, that was several years ago that this
I mean, I guess
place.
That's my point. And Tom Brady, I said earlier, he used the word satisfied, and he was talking about with this season. He wasn't saying with his entire career.
Right.
But that's just like a state of mind that I don't imagine people like Tom Brady, people in this Jordan level accomplishment.
That's a good
like,
point.
Satisfied is not something that ever
you
crosses
hear.
Their mind
that's right.
or that they ever let anyone understand. So him saying that gets my attention. The stuff about his wife and his kids, like, yeah, I'm sure it matters, but that was 2017, and he still played bunch more seasons.
But he did say the conversation, he says, it's not about what I want. He also right. doesn't say that before. It's not about what I want. It's about what my family wants as well. That's a big deal.
To be clear, the story is from May of 2017. Let me right. get Swagoo in here. Go ahead, Marcus. When you hear all this, what thoughts go through your mind?
Yeah, Foxy, he's satisfactionary, man. The man's satisfactionary.
Add it to the list.
Yes, sir. Listen, I believe that Tom Brady is at a point now where he's starting to think about the rest of it. Like, how can I think he's in the middle of what am I going to do when I don't play football? And that's hard to think about. You know, especially for him, dude, in 22 seasons in the NFL. And I tell people all the time, and Foxy and Jeff can relate to this. When I started playing Pee Wee football, I knew every year what I was going to be doing.
Yeah.
Like, and it's hard to wrap your head around, okay, football going on. I've been doing this my entire life. I got to figure out what I'm going to do. It ain't that easy. I know a lot of people say, well, Brady got money and he could take vacations. And he could. It has nothing to do with that. I went through a period of, like, unknowns of what the hell do I do now? Like, I've been doing this forever. So I think he's at that point where you get in the middle of, okay, when I pull the trigger on retirement, I need to move into something that's going to challenge me, give me fulfillment. And once he figures that out, I believe he will walk away this year.
It's possible. So, oh, sorry.
No, I mean, I think there's a chance, right, that we're talking – this is 2 days after his season end. There's certainly a chance that he thinks about all this stuff and ultimately decides to come back.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's on the table.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth having this conversation because the stuff he's saying is – end of career thoughts kind of stuff. And so he's obviously pondering it in a very real and significant way. And one of his points, when you talk about the word satisfied or satisfactionary or whatever,
whatever we're using now. What it is.
Like there's nothing left for him. I mean, he could walk, no one could possibly say, oh, how could you leave this still undone? Nothing. Yeah, he's done it and done it and done it again.
I think what he would be walking away from, and Marcus brought us up to this point, it's about to get real emotional on this set, but it's a real thing. It's about purpose. It's not about money. It's not about Super Bowls at a certain point. And I think that it's something that's unique to athletes and that our careers end at such a young age. And you leave thinking, I got everything I need. And then you wake up one morning and you don't got nothing to do. Yeah. And then the next morning, you don't got nothing to do.
And
then it gets to a point where that gets painful. And it's all the money in the world can't heal
that. So he's got to find that what to fill that time between being a football player and being a dude that throws pancakes around on the floor.
You got to fill that pancakes gap.
And explain to your children how this is a great profession. For this one.
I was arguing with my son over the weekend about finishing his multiplication tables because you are going to need this in your life. And then I come on here this morning throwing pancakes and get paid more.
We are blessed, baby.
And we go to break, and Greeny's like, great job.
Direct deposit on Thursday. Okay.
Have an interesting job. In the meantime, that's one quarterback whose future is in question. Let's get to another, because Saturday night was not the best of nights for Aaron Rodgers. You know what happened. Second time in his career, he doesn't throw a touchdown pass in a playoff game that had only happened once before, as mentioned, and they won that one. This one obviously goes in the opposite direction. Rodgers got hit a lot. He was sacked 5 times, 4th time in his career. He's been sacked that many times in a playoff game. At the end of the day, he went out much earlier than he or any of us expected. So now, after 17 seasons, 55,000 yards, 449 touchdowns, his future future in Green Bay is unclear. Meanwhile, yesterday, I want you to hear what RC said on this show about Rodgers.
Is he an all-time great? Yes. He is one of the best to ever do it. But tell me when, in the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers has elevated the Green Bay Packers. All we talked about for years is the fact that the Green Bay Packers needed to elevate Aaron Rodgers. They scored 10 points. We crushed Dak Prescott last week because he didn't put enough points on the board. Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be the baddest man in the world, and they scored 10 points at home in an ice fortress that nobody wants to play in. At some point, we got to look at Aaron Rodgers.
So that's a very interesting way of looking at it. His playoff record is not spectacular. Marcus, I'm going to let you go first here. When you heard RC say that, what was your immediate reaction?
Thank you for saying it. Because I got killed last year for saying it. It's not all on Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, no quarterback ever that's ever played football is all on them. But the way we talk about Aaron Rodgers, you got to expect him to overcome some of these things. And it seems like a lot of people want to give him a pass. Last year, NFC Championship, you know how many interceptions Tom Brady threw? Three. Three picks. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Rodgers didn't get it done. Oh. Eight passes from Jimmy Garoppolo in the NFC Championship. Couldn't win that game. We watched this game against San Francisco. 10 points? We going to absolve Aaron Rodgers for getting 10 points put on the board. But we're going to talk about his receivers. We're going to talk about they don't have the right running backs. The coaches ain't did this. The roster ain't right. All of that. The honest truth is he hasn't delivered in the way we expect greats to deliver in the playoffs.
Jeff seems frustrated.
Oh, my word. Like recency bias at its highest. Are you freaking joking me?
I talked about this last year.
He didn't play good. He didn't play up to his standards against the 49ers yesterday. Can we remember again in the NFC Championship game against Tampa? He's on the 5-yard line and his coach decides to kick the field goal at that moment. He had them in position. Can we think about all the games against Arizona, against Seattle, the onside against Seattle? He doesn't play special teams. So are we going to say that what he has done in the playoffs, which is 45 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 100.1 QB rating, and 27.3 points per game, isn't good enough in the playoffs? Because if that's not good enough in the playoffs, I don't know many quarterbacks that are that good in the playoffs. This is an insane comment on what happens. It is not a quarterback equals wins in the playoff. I wish it was. I'd have a whole lot more Super Bowls on my hand as well. The reality is this guy does show up. He is the reason they're a contender. And to lay all the blame because of Sunday night or Saturday night against the 49ers,
Jeff,
is ridiculous.
This is
real, because we get on here and act like this dude hasn't had a great career in the playoffs. Against Arizona, he scored 45 points, and they lose because the other team scores 51 points. Jeff. That's not on the court. So are you going to tell me that Josh Allen wasn't good enough on the other night playing the Chiefs?
Josh Allen.
We're going by wins and losses. Josh Allen just can't get it done.
Jump back, Marcus. Go.
Josh Allen was phenomenal last night. But have we ever talked about Josh Allen in the same way we talk about Aaron Rodgers?
How many touchdowns did Aaron Rodgers score against Tampa Bay in the championship?
Jeff.
Yeah, he was 346 and three touchdowns. Let me try and narrow this down a little bit to everybody. Is it fair to question may be a strong word, to challenge whether Rodgers has elevated in the biggest moments in the way some of the all-time greats have? There's no debating his place as one of the great quarterbacks of all time.
Nobody has ever debated
if he's
great.
No one's debating that. But in the way that Tom Brady in the biggest moments and Joe Montana in the biggest moments and the other legends we put in that category, is it fair to question whether Rodgers has done that?
I don't think it is. Because, I mean, in my head, I'm seeing a sideline throw to Jared Cook against the Cowboys when Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott had him beat in a playoff game. And we're talking about that Arizona game. Wasn't that one of the Hail Mary throws?
There's a
massive volume of Aaron Rodgers playoff games to examine here. And when you do it, you can certainly pick out the times when you didn't get that. Didn't play well on Saturday night.
Right.
He would admit that.
I don't know that he would.
But he didn't play well Saturday night. But
it's why we're having this conversation to begin with, because he wouldn't admit.
I think that he's never elevated them, I think, is unfair.
I think it's fair to say it's a disappointment that he's only won one Super Bowl, but to say he's never elevated him, like it Like, you're forgetting that he went on the road for entire playoffs and then took them to win a Super Bowl championship. So that sounds like someone who has elevated his team.
But is it not reasonable to say that his greatness, you just look at how, I call him the boat. He's the best of all time. He's not the GOAT. He's the boat. You look at his extraordinary talent to say, to have the playoff record that he has, however much of that is and isn't on the quarterback, and to only have one championship, it does. Those two things don't seem to match up.
I think that it's very disappointing, and I think it's an underachievement for them as an organization in its time, but it's a single elimination tournament. Weird things happen. I'm sure that if you compare his career numbers to other quarterbacks, anyone who has numbers like that probably has more than one Super
Bowl. And the reason I take this, because I was on a team with Peyton, and he got all the blame for every playoff loss that we didn't get done. It's, oh, he can't get it done. Now he's going to four Super Bowl, one, two. Like, however it looks, to place it on one player is silly that he's not elevated.
It's just, so bad. It's just so bad for you. It's just so bad for you to keep saying we placing it on one player.
Right.
It's just so bad for you to say that, Jeff. That's the easy way out to say that. We talk about Aaron Rodgers in the same vein as the greatest quarterbacks ever. He has missed way more than they have.
Ooh, get him. No. Heat it up. So how has Josh Allen that we're talking about as one is where
Jeff,
he
we're talking about a quarterback in his fifth year to one that's in his 17th, bro.
But the amount of plays that he has made that the game has not gone his way are what you're using against him.
I have to leave it there for the moment. I don't want to, but it's not up to me. But we will take a short break. We'll come back. We'll do more of this. I will get back to this no matter what we have to kill, but we're not killing this.
And this is even better. This is even more of a help for
Aaron Rodgers. Even more yelling at each other. There's a lot of crying going on right now in Dallas, and we'll explain the solution. And then there's Patrick Mahomes resurrecting himself after what was, by his standards, an up-and-down year. We're talking about that and more, and we're having a breakfast with you. The pancakes are served.
Oh, those pancakes have been on, making their
those
way.
Those have been on the floor.
Yeah, don't eat these right this. Now. Donald got a little crazy.
Hey,
got,
where's my check? That's what I want to know.
That's me, too. Me, too. Where am I money?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back on Get Up, and let's do awesome, awful, or awkward from the NFL weekend. Jeff, I'll start with you. What was awesome this weekend?
Trent Williams. Man, he's awesome every weekend, but now we got a fullback slash H-back slash tight end. He's knocking down not one, but two, and you can count three because he knocks his own dude down. But look at the physicality. Oh, my word. Can you imagine in your brain what's happening when he, that 71 is coming at you? You're thinking, what did I do to be cursed by God, because this man is running down my face. That was awful.
Dominique, what was awful?
Packers special teams, man. That was really terrible. You don't have very many difficult things to do on special teams. It's a very important part of the game, but stepping down and blocking, like, it's what you got to do. Yeah. At this point in the season, you can't have kicks, pivotal kicks, blocked to change the dynamic of that game.
Awful. I thought that'd be Aaron Rodgers, but okay.
It's the whole like game right there. Swagoo, what did you see this weekend that was awkward?
It was the Buffalo Bills celebrating after the touchdown.
Yeah.
And then Patrick Mahomes happened in 13 seconds. I felt terrible. I mean, I think everybody had the same feeling. I felt terrible. I would have felt terrible for any one of these teams to lose. But the fact that they were celebrating and thought this thing was over. And then we got Josh and Stephon on the bench. Stephon, look at Stephon, man.
Yeah,
oh, man. It's awkward.
The most brutal loss that I can think of in recent NFL memory. And so then let's talk about the team that beat them, though, because, you know, this was a year in which I think multiple times we wondered, is something wrong with Patrick Mahomes? By his ridiculously lofty standards, this was not a great season for Patrick Mahomes. Did Sunday night clear up all of that? Is he now back better than ever, best in the league, no questions asked, yes or no?
He's better than ever because he's doing it in a different way.
That's right.
So, like, we found
something. What way? What's the different way?
I mean, it's picking teams apart with small smaller bites at the apple and working your way down the field in that way. And he still has these special players that can save him sometimes. And it'll be a big play because Tyreek Hill is just different. He's just a different human being.
Like that.
You get him the ball and then
fast.
That's all you see. So, yeah, I think he is better than ever because he's added another style to his game that we weren't sure that he had.
Danny, let's be clear. The answer to your question is yes. But there was something wrong. They were turning it over at an incredible rate, right? Through seven games, they had 17 turnovers, most in the NFL. They had something to fix.
Yeah.
And they all told us they were going to fix it. We went, well, I don't know. They fixed it.
Yeah.
And this guy is different. Josh Allen is different. This guy is, excuse me, Swaggy, he's differenter.
Yes!
Differentary.
13 seconds? 13? How do you possibly in 13 seconds?
Oh.
Magic.
It was a Swagoo. It's
painful.
I tried to match your energy from your Instagram video the moment after that took place, and I couldn't do it. I don't know if you can even get back to that place, but when they scored that play with 13 seconds left, and Marcus went on Instagram and was talking about how you will never bet against him again, you took your voice to a place that I'm not sure how to describe it. How would you describe the energy you felt just watching that?
It's in the Baptist church. G is called the soprano level. And listen, I can't recreate that right now because it was a whole ball of emotion. I was just enjoying looking at Josh Allen. I was enjoying looking at Patrick Mahomes. I felt like neither one of these guys were supposed to lose this game. But it was one of the greatest displays of football from quarterbacks that I had ever seen in my life. And I've seen a lot of great performances. I've seen a lot of dudes do phenomenal things on the field. But the fact that both of these dudes were standing like toe-to-toe going back and forth along with their players. Let me say that for Jeff Saturday because it was other guys, too, on the team that made plays. But watching these guys and seeing that happen was unbelievable to me. Like 13 seconds left in that game, you thinking to yourself, I just watched two of the greatest performances I've ever seen. That's what I was thinking. I was with the Bills. I was celebrating. I was hugging people. I was saying, this is unbelievable what these guys have put on this field today. And then this happened. Now, I would have to have a talk with Leslie Frazier and all of that type of stuff.
You ain't kidding.
But, I mean, dude, I couldn't believe what I was watching, G. That's really what it boils down to, man.
Give me a final word,
I just couldn't believe it.
Two areas that I think he has improved tremendously. His pocket presence and awareness and the ability to avoid pressure is absolute insanity. Like, I think it goes undervalued from an entire league perspective. How many times he should have been sacked?
They almost got
him. And the way that he not only buys time, but still has the field vision below. And then, to your point, the patience that he has developed over the season is next to impossible for a quarterback of his stature that has been so successful, and that he was willing to dial it back in his own standards to find what's happening underneath and trust his game plan is going to work out. Man, two things I've been completely impressed with.
He also led the team in rushing the other night in that game on Sunday. All right, as we continue, the disaster in Big D. There may suddenly be a solution sitting right in front of Jerry's face. We'll tell you why it absolutely would work. Plus, should Aaron pack his bags and leave Green Bay? A very important person has something very important to say about it. You will hear it. And here it comes, the heavyweight out we call Sneaky Hembo versus Graziano. Dan, including the playoffs,
I like it.
Which player recorded the most receiving yards in a Super Bowl winning season? That's the question. The answer's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, here we go. This is a good question. I like it. To Graziano, including the playoffs, which player recorded the most receiving yards in a Super Bowl winning season? And I will point out that if Cooper Kupp's team wins the Super Bowl this year, he's going to be the answer. But he isn't yet.
Forward and
so whose record will he be breaking?
I wanted. Somebody suggested one of the Rams team that won, the Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce. Kind of, I don't know. That feels a little bit. Part of me wants to say Reggie Wayne. I'm going to go way back though. I'm going to say it's Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is my guess.
If you had gotten this, I would have lost my
wow,
mind.
Wow, really?
Were you covering?
Wow.
Were you covering?
What?
That was your team, right? You covered the Giants
because they played all four rounds. That was right.
Wow.
They were a 9-7 division. Great question.
Wow. Somewhere that's
never even occurred to me to guess Victor.
Do the dance. No, do
sorry,
the dance.
Sorry, Victor.
Hundreds of people across America are going to win bar bets on that one tonight. That's an
there it is. Oh, do the dance.
Let's go.
Do the dance. Oh, but you were going to win.
To see that, I will take that L.
All right, that's absolutely a really good question and answer. And the scoreboard now, I think they're tied up at 3.
Tied
wow. It's a low scoring matchup here, but that one was a fair question. All right, Graziano, let's run the hurry up. Next up is the coaching stuff. Everyone's got a close up. What are they doing in Chicago?
Chicago's got people coming in for second interviews. Jim Caldwell is supposed to go in there for that. They want to talk to Dan Quinn again, Matt Eberflus, the Indianapolis defensive coordinator. So they're getting a little bit closer to a decision in Chicago. I mean, at some point, somebody's going to hire a coach. Maybe they go first. So we also have the Giants. Obviously, they hired a GM on Friday. They looked at Dan Quinn yesterday. Everybody in the league is looking at Dan Quinn. It's as if there's a rule that you have to interview him if you have an opening. But the Giants are bringing in Brian Daboll, the Bills' offensive coordinator, for a second interview today. They're also expected to talk to Brian Flores later in the week. So a couple interesting names there for the Giants. And then there's all this Sean Payton stuff that's been out there. We don't know. Let's be really clear. I don't know what Sean Payton's going to do, and I'm not sure anybody does. But Gail Benson, the Saints owner, said yesterday that they don't know what he's going to do and that she hopes that he tells them soon. I know he's had interest from television networks for those kinds of jobs. I don't know for a fact that he'd be looking at another team. If he did, there are two that jump out. I think that Raiders job would be appealing. And then there's the Cowboys. They still have a coach.
Well, the Cowboys at this moment have a coach. There is also a long history between Sean Payton and Jerry Jones. And it brings us back to something Jerry Jones said last Friday. It kind of got buried underneath the greatest football weekend of all time.
It did.
But let's go back. Here's what Jerry Jones said last week.
Now, let me be real clear. Mm-hmm. One of the pet peeves I have is that I don't like this. Well, we've got to work on this in the offseason. We've got to work on this. I want those things recognized and addressed after we play Tampa, after the first game, or after we play the sixth game. I don't want to wait until we're sitting here with no season left to address these things we're doing or not doing. But the ultimate decision on these coaches or and anywhere around here is one that I have to make.
One that I have to make. That very definitively suggests it has not yet been made, despite their season now being over for 9 days. So, Marcus, as my beloved former Cowboy, I'll give you the floor here. Connect these dots. Do you think Jerry is still seriously considering making a coaching change? And if so, do you think Sean Payton's a real possibility?
I don't know about Sean Payton being a real possibility, but I know he's considering making a coaching change. Because if you're not, you don't say that publicly.
Mm-hmm.
You do not say that with the guy that's going to be in your building trying to win games. Here's the thing. And y'all know how I am with this. Like, Jerry, everybody say he need to get out of the way and all of that. Stop saying it. He ain't getting out of the way. But hopefully what somebody in there can do, Steven or Will McClay or somebody, can convince him to bring in a coach that really can get this team to play at the level in which you think you've built this team to be. And look, Mike McCarthy won 12 games this year, and I get it. Like, it's a successful season when you look at it in totality and just on the surface. Dude, this team got worse. They got worse as the season went along. We just came off a conversation about the Kansas City Chiefs getting better. So Jerry is looking at that, saying the Chiefs, they started off like this. We didn't know what they were. And this team has continued to ascend the rest of the way. He's looking at Joe Burrow, who's in his second year in Cincinnati. Y'all, how long have we talked about the Cincinnati Bengals franchise and organization being a disappointment? We were having these same conversations about them in the playoffs. They lose. They can't reach a game. They can't reach the conference championship. In their second year, they about to play in the AFC championship. The Los Angeles Rams sold everything to go get Matthew Stafford and to bring in Jalen Ramsey and do all the things. They about to play in the NFC championship. So you damn right he considering a coaching change. Because when you looking at the landscape, you see that your team, which you think the talent should be, should have the ability to put you at least in a NFC championship game, ain't getting there. So who do you attribute that to?
I think that's fair. And then let me ask you, Dominique, in the family group chat there, in the Dak Prescott family group chat, what would the reaction be if Sean Payton became the coach?
The words that came to my mind would have us all in trouble.
Get it out.
Let's just say it would be a good damn time, and there's not a salary cap on head coaches. So Jerry Jones, figure out whatever you got to do to get that man down there. He is one of the best coaches in football all around. But not only that, more importantly, you have an offense that Sean Payton, the way that I feel about bringing Sean Payton in is the way that Sean Payton should feel when he looks at this offense, and he should come over there and want to be a part of that. Forget trying to find a new quarterback in New Orleans.
And I'll say this too, as far as Jerry is concerned. Do I think that over the course of time, there have been many instances in which Jerry Jones' presence has been a hindrance to the football product in Dallas? Yes, I do. Do I think this past year was one of them? No, I don't.
Absolutely
I think they
not.
Had far big. I think he and his group, whoever it is that assembles the players, they did a much better job than
they
the coaches did.
They,
it wasn't Jerry Jones who couldn't see the clock in Los Angeles and couldn't figure out to call a timeout at the end of the Philly game and couldn't get off two plays in 14 seconds in a playoff game. So people can blame Jerry all they want. For this year, I don't think that's fair.
Absolutely not. And listen, really more than just this year, they have put together very good football teams, and they have gone 500 and just been a very mediocre football team. They bring in a coach, they win 12 games, and they get ousted. Here's when you knew it was real. Because everybody, and Dan, you may mention, everybody's interviewing Dan Quinn. If Jerry Jones wanted Dan Quinn, he would not have taken those interviews because he would be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Jerry, that is not in his wheelhouse. He likes offensive football, and he has spent his money on offensive football. So if he's got his cash over there, he wants return on investment. Who can get you that? Sean Payton. Yeah. By getting the most out of your quarterback, the most out of your line, the most out of your receivers, and that's what Sean Payton has done throughout his career. And to Fox's point, he's made every quarterback. Yeah. And who'd you use? Taysom Hill. That's the perfect.
Y'all.
Got people believing that, too.
I got to go back to something. I got to go back to something G said.
Yeah.
Put us all on camera, please.
Yeah.
I got to go back to something. And I understand what you're saying about this year. And I understand what you're saying about Jerry. But this, when he hired Mike McCarthy, everybody had questions. Yeah. Like, what is this? The point is, this is why Jerry always comes up. Because when you look at the coaching hires, in comparison to the things that are in this league, you think about who are the guys that Jerry can influence, be in a room with, tell them what they need to do, what they don't need to do. That is the consensus. It's always going to boil down to that. Now, what we talking about, what we talking about this scenario with Sean Payton and his what he's done in the league, I firmly believe if Sean, I know it's wishful thinking, we don't know what's going to happen, but I firmly believe if Sean Payton went and interviewed for the Cowboys job, he would absolutely say, I need full control. Mm. I need full control to do everything I need to do, and I'm going to try to deliver you a championship. But
that's
when
fair.
I was sitting on First Take set when the news broke that Mike McCarthy had been hired. You know what my next reaction was?
What?
Oh, this is very familiar. This is normal.
Hey, Swagoo, you know who won a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy?
Yes, sir.
Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Wait, I got to get to security.
But, you can do that with Charles Woodson picking off the rock, too, a lot.
Very, very quickly, the people you talk to around the league, is there an expectation still that a change is coming in Dallas? Is that out there?
No, but I think, obviously, Jerry left it open on Friday. And I think the issue is if there's a potential upgrade in his mind, and if he feels like Peyton has a wandering eye, He probably feels like he has to check that
okay.
out.
Okay, we will get back to that. In the meantime, it is time now for the security.
Ooh. Let's go.
I see.
I know some people in this league need security. Everybody ain't getting dumped around here. This long gone mother-in-law, he needs a new security guard. They better find somebody quick. Athleticism is a trait of being a security guard. And when you don't have none, you get your quarterback killed by a little guy. Like when the big dude run up on one of the little dudes, and then you find out he a damn MMA fighter and you get beat to sleep. You need new security.
So we had an emergency edition of security earlier this morning, which did not sit well with Jeff.
I did not like that.
But go ahead, Swag, take the floor. Who needs new security?
First and foremost, the guy that needs new security is the place where everybody said don't nobody want to go play football. Arik Armstead, oh my God. At least somebody block him. Somebody get a hand on him.
Oh,
don't get confused.
God.
Somebody do something to get him on the ground. This was his first when he had two in this game, and he's been playing out of his mind. Aaron Rodgers, you needed new security on this play, big fella. Your old line said, nah, I'm good. But the way Jeff defended you, you needed Jeff this past weekend to get it done.
Let it up, Swaggo.
Next, I'm bringing up my guy, and we all knew it. AD99. Listen, man, we knew it was coming. We knew at some point Tom Brady was going to need new security. We knew Tristan Wirfs being out was a detriment. We knew that he was going to make plays anyway. And look at this. I'm just going to get there. Like, this don't even look like it's a rep, Jeff. This look like what you do to warm up before the game.
Exactly.
This is like when we meet up.
Right.
So, hey. Tom Brady, you need new security. And your wife trying to tell you, get the hell out of there for good. Last but not least, I was not going to leave without putting Brian Simmons on you need new security. Lord have mercy, y'all.
Good gracious,
I don't know what you do in this particular situation. This ain't got nothing to do with scheme. Look at that man. You talk about skates. This is skates, y'all. And I don't even go to the damn skating ring no more. Look at Jeffrey Simmons, man. And this was one of his three in that game, and he accounted for 3 of 9. I ain't gonna even say it. We all know Joe Burrow need new security, but it's a holistic approach. It ain't about that guard. It ain't about that O-line.
No.
He need new everything, okay? That's new security for
this week. Extremely well done.
Let me just say this. The second one with Aaron Donald, that's like when you're in walkthrough and you're going against defensive guys. You're like, hey, man, slow down, dog. You're in walkthrough. That's what that rep looked like, bro. You know, picture him ricocheting off of you. Like, what happened right here?
Goodness,
it's like
dude.
Donovan Smith of our pet. They're like, hey, we're taking this easy, right? This is like, look like a Pro Bowl set.
Yes.
Now, hey, we're in the Pro Bowl, bro. We're in the playoffs. Like, somebody do something.
It was supposed to be an exhibition.
No names, Jeff.
Y'all are talking about if Tom Brady should retire. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that make me decide.
To quote the movie Rocky, he doesn't think it's a damn show. He thinks it's a damn fight.
Yeah.
All right. What a Big Ten SEC Pac-12 Super Tuesday triple header we have for you tonight on ESPN and the app. We got Michigan State and Illinois at 7 Eastern. Then you got Kentucky hosting Mississippi State. And finally, a showdown in L.A. between number 3 Arizona and number 7 UCLA. Great night of college hoops here on ESPN. Coming up, back to Aaron. This had us yelling earlier. Should he pack his bags and leave? One of our analysts says time to say it's time to move on. You'll hear next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and our attention goes back to a place that's been much of this day. Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, who may very well have played his last game as a Packer on Saturday night. His head coach, Matt LaFleur, addressing Rodgers' future and the conversation he had with Aaron about it. Listen.
I sat down and talked to Aaron today for quite some time. You know, I think we're all a little numb to this situation right now. We're hopeful that he'll be back next year. I want to be respectful of his process, whatever he needs to go through to make the best decision for himself. And we would love for him to be a Packer and be a Packer until the day he decides to retire. There's no plan for a rebuild. When you get this close, obviously we won a lot of football games, and we know in order for there not to be that, he's got to be a part of this thing. So I don't think that's anybody's intention.
All right, so there's so much to unpack there as we welcome you into the legal offices of Tannenbaum, Greenberg & Associates.
I looked up there, I was like, what?
Mike T.
We got to give that joke a week off. Give that joke a week off. It's a funny joke, but I mean, every week I'm expected to laugh at that.
It works every week, though. I mean, I go back to the well. Tannenbaum, you made me forget the question. He's saying they don't want to rebuild. But Graziano ran through the whole thing. The cap is a mess before they even signed Devontae Adams. Are they about to go through a total rehaul in Green Bay?
Not at all. Because I would say, Aaron Rodgers, you are going to stay right here. We are going to franchise Devontae Adams, and we are going to figure out different ways we can move on from Preston Smith, Billy Turner. We can redo a couple contracts. And what I would do is I would extend Aaron Rodgers to lower his cap number. And what I would say to him, Greeny, is Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, you're going to retire here. We're going to rename the Don Hudson Center, the Aaron Rodgers Center. Whatever you need to be fulfilled on the field and off the field, you're going nowhere. So it's not ideal, but we could figure this situation out.
You got to find some different names to tell them, because Tom Brady and Peyton Manning went somewhere else and won the Super Bowl. Like, that, like, to me, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, that seems like a better option.
I think what you're saying is you're going to be the one guy who didn't do it.
And you can win it here. We have a plan to fix this cap on the short term, so to keep your window open.
Right.
What do you think of that, Chad?
I agree 100%. I mean, I've said it before. Like, if Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay, they're not going to the playoffs next year. I'm letting y'all know. Like, you don't think he's good. You think he's the reason for whatever, all this kind of stuff. This dude is why you are a contender.
Jeff, you ain't breaking no news saying that.
Swagoo talks every week about security. You know who is security for Matt LaFleur?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
That's security, but that's job security, and he understands it. The front office understands it. They're going to do what they can to keep that man there.
Can I ask a question? And Marcus, I'll pose it to you, but Mike T, it's sort of also for you, because, and I don't mean this aimed at you, but frequently the people who make personnel decisions will do anything they have to justify the decisions they made. They made a very high-profile decision, Marcus, 2 years ago to draft a quarterback in the first round. If they extend all this with Aaron Rodgers and everything else, then what do we say about that decision?
It was a bad one. I mean, people have been saying it was a bad one for a while. And listen, I didn't think it was bad. I think it's always good to have a young quarterback that can learn from a legend. I think the problem that I'm having with Jeff Saturday is we talking about, like, I got to jump. We talking about two different things. I think you under the impression that we discussing Aaron Rodgers' greatness or his ability. We all know that the Green Bay Packers ain't going to be who they are with Aaron Rodgers. But New England wasn't going to be who New England was without Tom Brady. And the Steelers not going to be who they were without Ben. Like, every team got to go through. Listen to what I'm saying. Every team goes through a transition period of a quarterback of these statures leaving. They all go through it. Like, we sat there and we watched the New England Patriots struggle, and then they went and got a young rookie quarterback that they feel good about. It takes time. I'm not saying that, like, I expect Green Bay to be a good football team if Aaron Rodgers leaves. What I do believe is this. I do believe that there are a lot of issues between him and this franchise. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that have transpired over the course of his career, whether that be not having enough players, whether that be him going postal on the entire organization leading into a season where he spent the whole offseason saying, I might not even be coming back, for you to end up doing exactly what you, Tannenbaum, Foxy, and G, and myself will be doing, watching the Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this, Mike T. How about the other side of this? If indeed, if you're a team right now in the NFL that is interested in a quarterback, almost every team, it would be an upgrade for him. What are you doing? If you're, I'm just making up names here, Tennessee or one of these other teams that feel close.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
I am not getting off the phone. I'm going to give up 3 first-round picks, because when I have Aaron Rodgers,
yes,
I have a chance. And we saw what the other day, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, the bar is so high, especially in the AFC now. At least with Aaron Rodgers, if you're Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Denver, you have a shot. I will give up three first-round picks to get him.
Who said that over on this side of the table? Who threw out another name?
Denver?
No, Indianapolis. How about Indianapolis?
We in line. I mean, if we're getting out of Green Bay,
don't have a first round pick. It's in Philadelphia.
That's true. Philadelphia has three first round picks. You're saying if you're the Eagles, Jalen Hurts is there. You would offer your three first round picks to Green Bay.
Absolutely. Jalen Hurts is a good player. Aaron Rodgers is all time great. And guys, here's the irony: when we traded for Brett Favre at the Jets, they did it from a position of strength in Green Bay. They knew what they had in Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. The irony is, to your point earlier, Greeny, they made a mistake. They drafted Jordan Love. They traded up for him. They know what they don't have in him. Mm. And that's why what Matt LaFleur is saying is a lot different than it was 10 years ago when they traded Favre.
Quick final word.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still pro Broncos for that move for Aaron Rodgers. I think that's the spot and I agree, it's a tough division to be in with Herbert and Mahomes. But that roster is loaded. All these other teams that we're naming have big holes in certain parts of their roster. There's not a hole except for at the quarterback position in Denver.
We will see what they do. All right, Tanner, I'm making that joke again next week. I don't care what makes sense.
It's going to be so much better next week.
The Australian Open rolls on down under with more quarterfinal coverage on ESPN2 and the app tonight, 9 Eastern. Every point of every match can also be seen live on ESPN+. All right, First Take is around the corner. Is it time for Brady to retire? And does only winning one Super Bowl hurt Rodgers' legacy? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Keyshawn and company, top of the hour here on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, here's our featured NHL games tonight on ESPN+. The Stars and Devils, 7 Eastern, then the Kraken finishing up a homestand against the Predators. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. All right, to finish up today, we had 4 unbelievable games, 4 heartbreaking losses. Which was the worst loss of the weekend is our question. Jeffrey, you go first.
Tennessee Titans. Listen, got the number one seed. You get 9 sacks. A.J. Brown has a huge day. You run it for a buck 40. You're doing everything right except your quarterback wants to give it to the other team. Mm-hmm. Red zone, you're in the red zone. You throw an interception. You throw a first play and last play. Brutal.
Graz.
I go with the Packers, the other number one seed. They needed 14 points to win at home, coming off the bye. They couldn't get it. The opposing offense did nothing. You get a punt block, and that turns the whole entire game on you. That's brutal. Swagoo.
It's the Titans. You get 9 sacks, you're supposed to win the game.
Amen.
First time Swagoo and Jeff have agreed today. That threw me off.
I love
and none of you have the right answer yet. Guy. Dominique.
I got the right answer. It's the Bills. Like, I know those other games were disappointing.
They won the game.
Yeah, that seems simple to me.
They won the game with 13 seconds left. By the way, the Hall of Famer Jim Kelly has not yet responded publicly, but he will. Jim is on my radio show in 20 minutes, coast to coast. Nice. Don't miss it. Meanwhile, First Take is next here on ESPN.
Plug talk.